Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Anne Rodiger. Did I have that pronounced right?
Rodiger.
Anne Rodiger, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Manhattan in New York City. She's the founder and director of the Balance Art Center, which is a place where you can learn the Alexander Technique. You can learn to apply the Alexander Technique to various activities. And it's also an Alexander Technique teacher training course. Anne has been teaching the technique and movement for over 25 years in both academic and private settings. And she is very involved with dance. She is skilled in Laban notation, is that right? Did I pronounce
right.
it?
Right, that's it.
Great. Laban movement analysis, Bartenieff fundamentals, also yoga, meditation, and various dance techniques. And welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to talk today, I think, largely about the Alexander Technique and dance and why dancers might be interested in studying the technique. But I'd like to begin, since a lot of people listening aren't going to know really what the technique is, if you could give a very, very short description or definition of the technique.
Great. So the Alexander Technique is a movement awareness education where you learn to find the easiest, most fluid and balanced movement in your body. You learn your habits that get in the way of that and then learn how to undo those habits so that you can find the easiest flow of movement and the best balance for yourself.
And from what you say, it seems pretty clear it's an educational process, not a therapy.
It's an educational process, yeah, because the participation of the student, we call people students, is really important. So they come and they learn how to actually think differently about the way they're moving, which has a great effect on the outcome of their movement.
How did you first run across the Alexander Technique, and what was your first experience with it?
When I was in graduate school in dance, we were doing everything we could to help ourselves get better, and we found an Alexander Technique teacher in the music school, and a number of us from the dance department went over to the music school and started taking Alexander lessons. And we took group classes, some of us, a couple times a week. And the effects were really profound for me. I was, or I still am, quite flexible in my body. And I was able to do lots of things, but I wasn't able to have the strength, or basically what turned out to be the coordination, to do them well. I could get my leg way up over my head, but I couldn't do it in a coordinated way. So the Alexander Technique really gave me the sense of how to move better. I mean, I had so many possibilities of doing everything. I didn't know which one to choose. And the Alexander Technique really gave me the sense of what was the right direction to go in. It really totally changed my dancing, and it I'm sure helped me from getting many injuries.
Mm-hmm. And did it have did it affect other aspects of your life as well?
Well, it was interesting because as soon as I started taking the Alexander Technique, I was able to reduce my sleep, which in graduate school is really good.
Like that's a big advantage.
Yeah, it's a big advantage. So it was. It just felt like, and it was obvious that the my energetic flow in my body was much more directed and more efficient. And I also had some visual experiences that, by taking the pressure off my optic nerve and my breathing, I had some real clarity of vision and sight, and my whole perceptual apparatus started to kind of clear up. I didn't know that it was kind of muddy, but it seemed to clear up quite a bit. So that was kind of exciting too.
So at some point, did you pursue a career in dance at that point, or at some point you decided to train to become an Alexander Technique teacher?
I taught in university settings for 8 or 9 years and was fortunate to find myself in teaching at the University of Illinois in Urbana and was able at the same time to take the Murray's class, that Alex and Joan Murray's training class. This is a long time ago. But it was, you know, I found them kind of by accident, and then I had always thought I might want to train, but it, you know, how to get yourself in a situation to do that, and it just appeared in front of me, so I was able to take a training class while I was teaching in the dance program. Yeah.
And we should say here that the Alexander teacher training programs are usually a 3-year process, maybe 1,600 hours of classroom time. So it's a pretty big commitment of time and money. So I guess you were very fortunate to be right on in the same location as a teacher training school.
And that is quite an experience, actually, to go through the training.
Do you want to say a little about that for our listeners?
Well, it's interesting, and also because now I'm running a training class, also you see yourself and you see people transform enormously throughout the 3 years and the 1,600 hours. And people say, oh, that's an awfully long time. And it is a long time. And then as soon as you get into it, you realize, wow, this is barely enough, or it isn't even enough to really start to get into the depth of one's patterns. And the reason the training class is so long is that, as Alexander teachers, when we put our hands on, we really invite the student to come with us in our direction, so that the clearer the practitioner is and the teacher is in their own use, their own body use, the better direction the student is going to receive from them. So it's quite, it's really, I think there's really nothing else quite like it, where the use of the practitioner is so critical to the teaching of the technique.
Yes, I think you're right. That is a very unique feature of the Alexander technique, and it also explains why Alexander technique training courses tend to be fairly small in terms of numbers of students, because you can't really mass produce Alexander teachers.
No, and it's really for me part of the fun, not just fun, but part of the interest in training people is that everybody has their own process of learning how to discover the direction and how to go through the process of learning and how to let go of their habits. And that's really exciting to watch people have discoveries like almost every day that get more and more subtle and more easy. And then, of course, as it becomes more subtle, it almost seems more obvious to them what's happening. So it's interesting.
Yes, it is an amazing experience to be on an Alexander technique training course. I certainly agree with that. So when you qualified at the end of the 3 years, did you, in a sense, stop teaching dance and start teaching the Alexander technique, or was it a more nuanced transition at that point?
Well, I continued to teach in the university for a while, and then I moved to New York and decided I was going to start a training class and do my own choreography, and not a training class, but start a practice, an Alexander technique practice. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what I did. I came to New York and did my own work for a while, and then the Alexander work started taking over. More people wanted lessons, and it meant I could go to class less or choreograph less. So I kind of made an easy transition out of dance into just teaching the Alexander technique.
Mm-hmm. So I think this would be a good time to address the question, what are the advantages for dancers to take Alexander lessons?
Well, it's interesting because the Alexander technique is such a fundamental movement coordination training that it gets at the basis and the basic aspects of any kind of movement. And in dance training, it can be underneath some of the stylistic techniques that people take. So sometimes if you go to study a certain kind of ballet, or if you were to go to the Graham School or the Cunningham School, you would learn a particular style of movement and their way of training people. And the Alexander technique actually gives you fundamental movement that's underneath that. So when people come, for instance, to take lessons and they say, oh, I'm having trouble with this or I'm having trouble with that, you can sort of see how they can actually do what they want to do better. Because we get underneath, this is the only word I can think of right now, but you get underneath that particular style or into that technique, and you can see how the body can accomplish those tasks more efficiently and easily.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a replacement for specific dance techniques, but really a way to do them better. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, in the, that's an interesting question. In the, it's not a replacement unless someone came in and wanted to do, for instance, their dance technique warm up or their movement, which people do come in sometimes and work through phrases that they're going to be performing because they're having trouble with them. But it's not necessarily a replacement for doing a full dance class, for instance. It's not, it could be, it can be that much movement, but generally it's a little bit more subtle. And I work with people on the specific things that they're bringing in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is there any, I guess a long time ago, someone once told me, I have to say, I don't work with dancers very much. I tend to work more with musicians, but another Alexander teacher once told me that one of the reasons why perhaps the Alexander technique is not as well known in dance circles as it is in music circles, where it is very well known, is that there is sometimes a kind of an aesthetic in dance that involves a bit of arching of the back and pushing the chest forward, and that is a little bit in conflict with some Alexander ideas. Do you have any thoughts about that?
That's interesting. I think that the Alexander technique is not necessarily, you know, it's not about making people ramrod straight or just vertical. The principles of the work with the head leading and the head neck back relationship can be applied to any kind of movement that you want to do. Some movements are going to be less efficient, for instance, than other movements, but it doesn't mean that the principles still don't apply. So it's not like you can't do anything. That's kind of what I mean by it comes underneath the technique. You can arch your back, you can do whatever you want to do in the most efficient way possible for that movement at that time. Some aesthetic choices might require that you get yourself out of what we might want to call keeping your back and up as much as you might in some other choices, but you certainly can do those things with the most amount of efficiency that you can find in that particular movement.
And how about I think an interesting question from my perspective would be ballet dancing and dancing, was it on point? Is that
on
the
point
term?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm struggling with the terminology here. I know from when I used to teach a lot more in Toronto, I knew a lot of people who were former ballet dancers. And in fact, in Toronto or in Ontario, there's a special program for former dancers to reintegrate them into another job because they've injured themselves, former ballet dancers. And you do, I've run into lots of mostly women in their late 20s or 30s who were professional ballet dancers who injured themselves in some way or just couldn't continue. Is that something where if they had had Alexander lessons, do you think they would be more likely to be less prone to injury and more likely to be able to prolong their careers?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that then we get into this Alexander concept of end gaining. You know, it's like, what do you do to accomplish the task that's in front of you? And in dancing, it might be to, you know, get your leg in the air or do a certain kind of movement. And if people kind of go for the movement and do it in any way possible and do it no matter what, then they might be prone to injury, and you know, that decreases the longevity of their dancing life. But if you find, and when you find the flow of movement that the Alexander technique provides and the way of moving efficiently, you can do quite a lot of things without injuring yourself and still do them, and even more, do them in a way that's aesthetically pleasing and accomplishes the task. Because you haven't stopped the flow of energy, you've directed it through your body in a way that allows you to find a better balance without becoming rigid or stiff or bracing against yourself, which sometimes happens when people are trying to accomplish something without enough flow in their body or movement, underlying movement in their body. Yeah, the ballet aesthetic is really interesting because it's, in one way, it's actually great for the Alexander technique because it is so vertical, and a lot of people associate the Alexander technique with being fairly vertical, and so you have that going for you with the ballet. And what I find with people doing ballet is that they have preconceived ideas about what they should look like, and then they try to produce that in their body, present themselves in a certain way, or arch their back, for instance, like you were saying, that takes them out of their most efficient balanced movement, and then they start to work from there, and then they get injured. It's like trying not to have so many preconceived ideas about what things are going to look like or feel like.
Well, do you think that training programs for dancers, I'm thinking particularly of ballet mm-hmm. here, but I'm sure this mm-hmm. might apply to other fields, that there might be some, I guess you could say, problems in the way dance is taught that might encourage those kind of, we could call them end gaining patterns, or not paying enough attention to process kind of patterns that are at the root of some of these issues for dancers?
Well, it's interesting because dance is very most often taught in a group setting. Mm-hmm. And that is quite different than musicians. And you don't, you know, it's dancers don't always go home and practice their pliés, for instance, on their own, like you would have a musician going home and playing for an hour or two or three or four on their instrument to become better. Most dancers dance in class, and they take class quite often, usually, and ballet dancers particularly. And so most of the work they do is in that setting where they get often individual attention, but not the same kind of individual attention the Alexander technique teacher would give them. So, I mean, I actually teach a very, 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 very beginning ballet class to like community people, and I focus a lot on the balance and the alignment. And what's fascinating to me is these people can balance really well, and they're not trained dancers at all. And we really focus on the form and the alignment and the placement and the movement flow, and take fairly basic movements, and they become very interesting when you work with them in this way. So it's not like you just want to repeat them again and again, because you start to have new things to think about that are going to improve the alignment and the movement form.
So for someone listening to this who is mm-hmm. either contemplating a career as a dancer or certainly serious study of dance, would there be an advantage to taking some Alexander lessons even before taking a dance class, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it's very much, it sort of gives people a way of kind of translating what the teacher is saying into their own body. You know, a teacher may say, okay, make sure you extend your arm over this way, or you do this that way. And they can say, oh, you know, in order for me to do that, I need to think about this and that and that and that to do it in the easiest way possible. So it's absolutely, you know, I think it's almost, it would be required if I had my way. But, you know, that would change the dance world. People would get many fewer injuries and they would dance much longer.
Right. And I think it does raise a kind of an interesting distinction in terms of teaching between someone who can teach a specific skill, and in this case we're talking about dancing, but it really could apply to anything else, and someone who teaches a person to improve the quality of their coordination.
Right.
And it's, which is at least in part what Alexander teachers are about. Mm-hmm. And there's no real reason to expect that a person who could do the first could also do the second, or vice versa. And it's, I think sometimes people forget that and assume that just because someone is a good dancer and maybe a very good dance teacher, they might not be very good at helping a student to actually govern their own coordination in a way that would enable them to use what they've learned well. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense. And I think what happens in what I sense, and also this comes partly from my understanding of the Laban notation and Laban analysis vocabulary, is that often teachers teach things using the same kind of language. And when a student doesn't understand something or doesn't produce what they want to see, they just sometimes say the same thing again rather than look for new language or a new way of approaching it. Because they learned in a certain way, perhaps, or they learned that something worked for them, and they think that's going to work for everyone. And I think it's really important to have several ways of describing something to someone, you know, so that they can think about it in one way, and you can see as you watch them do that if that's actually making sense to them. And if it doesn't, then you can say, you know, okay, now think of this is your whole head, that's not your whole head, or, you know, something like that. Like, so you really get a sense of being able to communicate with people. Mm-hmm. and adjust your language from what you're seeing and observing to help educate the student.
Right. And at your point earlier that dance classes are usually group classes means there really isn't as much opportunity for a teacher to tailor his or her words to each individual student.
Right.
And the Alexander technique is most often taught in individual lessons, although some teachers do group work as well. But there's always, there's never an assumption, even in a group Alexander lesson, that one set of words is going to work for everybody. You have to sort of see what happens and adjust accordingly.
Exactly.
And typically, I guess, with an Alexander group, even an Alexander group class, the whole system is kind of built around that possibility, whereas I suppose with dance classes, you go through a certain set of routines. Is that typically how dance classes are taught?
Typically, there's some kind of a warm-up. Mm-hmm. Where people focus on technical things, and that often develops into movement across the floor or jumps or sequences that are taught and then repeated.
Right,
And, you know, the goal of the dance class is also to get people really moving sometimes. It's not to go slowly, so the focus can't always be on... It's definitely a technique class. It's definitely on technique, but it's not... one isn't necessarily able to go slowly enough to make all the corrections that one might be able to in a smaller setting with fewer people. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say to a dancer or someone taking dance classes or someone who is a professional dancer that perhaps we haven't touched on that would be useful information for them?
Well, just to say that the Alexander technique really provides an experience of that movement flow that people are looking for, that you really get that inner, deeper sense of motion and direction that one really wants to dance from. It's like what we want people to see is that like inner movement when we're dancing, and that's what the Alexander technique can provide. an experience of that, so people can then take that back to their dance class and move better.
And as from your own experience early on in taking Alexander lessons, it helped with dance, but it also carried over into a lot of other areas of your life.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an added bonus that not only will you probably be able to dance better and be less likely to injure yourself, but ordinary activities like chopping vegetables or walking or driving a car or whatever will also be are likely to be enhanced as well. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't touched on?
I think that's about it. This is great.
Okay, well, my guest today has been Ann Rodiger. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
All right, Ann Rodiger, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Manhattan. She's the founder and director of the Balance Arts Center, and we'll put a link to that next to the interview. She teaches Alexander lessons, and I assume to not just to dancers, right?
Oh, right.
So if you're in the New York area, whether you're a dancer or not, you might want to contact her. And you're in Midtown Manhattan?
I'm actually downtown.
Downtown, okay. And she also not only teaches the Alexander technique, she also teaches specific applications of the technique to different activities that you might be involved with. And she has a teacher training program. So if you really get interested in the technique and decide to be a teacher, she's a certified official trainer of Alexander Technique teachers. Anne, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.